Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix-It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us. I'm Rick Rickma, and I am joined by loan officer and co-host,
Ian Arnold with Advisors Mortgage, MLS number 1995469.
And Ian and I today want to talk about a variety of things, but the first thing, or at least part of what we want to talk about, is have you been dreaming about buying a home or maybe selling your current home and moving to a more exciting home, moving up, moving sideways, moving down, just something different than what you have today. One that fits your lifestyle better. There are a lot of folks in that boat, in that same boat with you, and we are going to discuss what we can expect from this market. But before we do, let's talk about the mortgage market, what the Fed rate hikes should mean for mortgage rates and home sales. You know, on that note, I had in this market, I had a customer I was talking to, and they were planning on retiring this year. And because of what's happened in the market, not so much the mortgage market, but the rate market, but in the stock market, the stocks have dropped so much that now they're going to have to put off retiring because of that market. And that's all that is tied into what we're doing. You know, the Dow Jones lost, I think, 4.91%, while the S&P lost 500, dropped 8.8%. The composite index fell 13.26%. That is one of those things that, it's tough on the market, but I've seen it. I mean, it's pretty incredible as I'm in the market and the drop in very good, solid stocks, good, solid companies, and the drop that we've seen. It's just been a very, very big challenge. Now, along with that, to get that, you know, what the rate hikes mean, you know, the feds are looking at a rate hike, and their rate hikes are in response to
the inflation. They're trying to get that under control.
Yeah. And I don't know. Do you remember the inflation rate? I think it's 8.5%.
Yeah. Right around
year
there.
Over year. And I think that's the fastest pace since 1981. It may be a little higher than that. I know it's the fastest pace in 40 years. It's
easily.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. And I have to admit, I remember it back in 1981.
I wasn't born yet.
You weren't born yet, and I was not old yet, but I think I was in my 20s, and it was major, and it had a huge effect. I remember, I think before that, the lines at the gas pump, you know, gas prices were up. You couldn't get enough gas. It was somewhat rationed. And it was a different time, and it was due to this hot inflation. So the feds are reacting to the inflation, and Ian, what do you think they're going to do? What are the feds, you know, what's their latest rate increase, and how's that going to affect our borrowers, and how is that going to affect the economy?
All right. I mean, the last increase is like .5. Which is half. But what it means is it's going to raise the rates on what we're trading on. So if you're looking at getting a house, your rate is going to be a little bit higher than it was 3-4 months ago. I mean, is it a big deal? Not necessarily, because when they come down, most people just refinance and get the lower rate. But if you're just looking at getting to something quick, yeah, you're going to pay a little bit more over the long run or over the short term.
So. Yeah, you're going to pay more over the short term. And it, again, just so everybody remembers, the federal fund, when the feds raise the federal fund rate, that's the overnight rate banks loan each other money. And when they and so that's a very, very short term rate. When they raise the federal fund rate, the instant reaction may be a little higher mortgage rates, but most of the time, especially if they do this a couple times, we're going to see mortgage rates come back down. So even though rates are higher today, we expect rates to go down. Now, it takes a little time for these rate increases to take effect. The reason they raise the federal fund rate is to slow down the economy, slow down inflation. I believe it's 100% we're going into a recession in the next 6 months to a year. It may not take that long. It may take a little longer, but I believe for sure, I have no doubt we are going into a recession. And when we go into a recession, interest rates,
they'll go down.
They always go down.
Because they want you to spend more money then.
Right. The economy slowed down, and they've gotten, because of these rate increases, okay, that should help slow the economy down. That should help lower, you know, slow down the inflation. Now, the inflation rate, you know, we've talked about it, it's year over year. So what you have to do is look at what was it last year in that month and what is it going to be. And so I've heard a lot of the news talk about inflation is going to be continuing to rise, and we've kind of hit the top, the worst case. But I don't believe that's the case. You and I both have seen those graphs.
Yeah. I mean, until you start to see it, I mean, all they're doing is predicting. So, I mean, I can predict that it's going to go up, 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 but guess what? And then tomorrow something could happen and it drops. So.
Right. Yeah. And the graphs are showing, you know, May's number is 0.9. So most likely inflation is going to stay about the same. That's a high number. Mm-hmm. It increased a year ago at 0.9. But when that number falls off and the next number comes in, okay, the next number I think is 0.4. That's significantly less. That's the June number. So if our inflation comes in hotter than that, our inflation number's going to go up, right? It's going to go, if we're at 8.5, it may go to 8.8, 8.9, depending on where it comes in. Then the next month it's at 0.3, and the next month it's at 0.4. So those 3 months, I think you're going to see hotter inflation. I think we're going to see hotter inflation, and probably until, best case, October. Once we get that October number, because it's back up to 0.9, I think that's the September number comes out in October, That's why I believe we'll start to see the inflation numbers drop. I think we'll probably see rates stay where they're at, I don't know, through summer, maybe even go up a little bit, maybe go down a little bit, probably go up a little bit. And then I think, you know, maybe we'll start to see them go down late summer, early fall, my opinion. Nobody knows the future. And then I think we'll see, you know, then we'll be able to see what's going to happen. I believe that's we're going to be starting to see a real slowdown in the markets. We've seen so much that shows that we're going into a recession that it just seems like a foregone conclusion. You know, based on that, I also talk about they're looking at, you know, they raised the federal fund rate, as you said, 0.5, 50 basis points. And the next increase, you know, they're thinking it's going to be another 50 basis points. The one after that, they're thinking it's going to be 50 basis points to 25 to 50 basis points. I think it's going to be 50 basis points. And that doesn't, again, that's going to probably help mortgage rates in the long run. What it does hit is your prime rate. So if you have any, or credit cards, if you have anything on a short-term financing, that's going to be what's affected. Federal fund rate is 3% above prime. Prime right now is 0.75 to 1. I know it's weird. It's a spread. And when they say that, it's all, they take one. They never take 0.75. I've never seen anything priced from the lower one. They always price it from the higher one. So, and it's 3%. So right now, prime's 4. Still very good. Not quite where it was. But, you know, with that, that's what we're looking at. At least that's what we're looking at, in our opinion. The Fed's another thing they're looking at is reducing the balance sheet. And that's something that's kind of, that will hurt rates for a little while. Depends on how they do it. I don't think they're going to have a lot of oomph on that. I think they'll be a little leery to do too much of that. You know, after the break, we're going to talk about several things, but one of the things we're going to talk about is the dream of home ownership. You know, is it worth the effort?
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
All Welcome back, and thank you so much for joining us. We truly appreciate it. I'm Rick Ritma, your hardworking mortgage guy. And
I'm Ian Arnold with Advisors Mortgage.
And we really do appreciate you joining us today. If you have any questions on mortgages, please let us know. Go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. From there, you can email, you can call, you can send a message, and either Ian or I will get back to you. We both won't. One of the two of us will. And we'll be able to, you know, hopefully answer your questions and give you some good guidance and information. You know, Ian, with that, it's time for our question of the week.
Yeah, the question of the week is sponsored by Debt Crusher Mortgage, relieving financial stress that comes with life. If you have a mortgage or own your own home, contact the experts at debtcrushermortgage.com to have them put together a free savings report for you. So last week's question was, a container without hinges, lock, or a key, yet has golden treasure lies inside. What am I? Did you have any... I know we had a couple of people put in suggestions, but I don't think anybody got it right. But the answer is an egg.
An egg.
All right.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right. So question for this week. And again, we will not give an answer until next week. I can fly, but I have no wings. I can cry, but I have no eyes. Wherever I go, darkness follows. What am I? And again, if you have, if you want to answer quickly, just go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com and put it in there, and we'll tell you if you got it right.
Yep, it's a great question. And now let's talk about the dream of home ownership. Is it worth the effort?
Yeah. And that's what we get a lot of times, is people who've never owned a house. What is the question? Is it worth it? And my whole thing is always, I think it is. And we'll go through some of those reasons why. First one is, home ownership can contribute significantly to your financial wealth. I mean, so for instance, if you don't own your home, you're paying rent. So if you put it $1,000 a month to rent, think about this. After 1 year, that's $1,200 that you just gave away.
$12,000.
My math's off. But $12,000, you just basically threw away. Now, when you apply that to a mortgage, some of it's going to go to your principal interest, some of it's going to go to your escrow and stuff, but overall, your principal is going to drop.
Right.
So what you owed on the house. Not only that is your equity in your house is going to usually always increase year over year. So when you look at that, if you have a $200,000 house and last year equity increased 19%, then you're looking at in 1 year, your house went, you gained equity of $38,000. That's so if you were to sell your house right then and you got that, you'd sell for $238,000. So you just made almost $40,000. I'm sorry. So financial wealth, it's there. So,
yeah, it's definitely there. You know, when you look at that, let's just say on that, if they had a mortgage at $100 a month or $1,000 a month, and 100 of that was the principal and interest, or the principal going towards principal, everything else is interest and prepaids, that type of thing. Let's just say that's what it was. You look at that and you go, well, I only gained $1,200 in equity that way. But when you use your example, you made $38,000 on the increase in the appreciation of the house and $1,200. So now you're at $39,200. Now, of course, you got some expenses to sell the house, things like that, but you're still way ahead. And that's just year one.
Correct.
And we can't expect 19% every year. That's not reasonable. But every year you're going to pay more principal, so you're going to lower the balance, so you're going to have more equity that way, and you're going to continue that appreciation. I read where and I'm going to have the numbers a little off, but the average homeowner has $500,000 more net worth than the average renter. I mean, it is significant.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think people realize how much it grows over time. If you look at it as a house as a stock, Think about it as that term. Don't think of it as a place you just live in. Think of it as a stock. So it's going to go up and it's going to go up. But mostly it's going to go up over time. So if you look at it that way, you can see how it's going to keep increasing. And you look at that as source of income. I mean, that's where you want to look at it.
Right, is it'll make a huge difference. A couple ways that that matters. So you're buying your first home. One of the first things you need to look at, it's not the only thing. When you're buying your first home, most of the time it's not your dream home. It's a stepping stone.
Starter home.
It's a starter home. It's a stepping stone. One of the things that matters greatly when you're doing that is, what is the anticipated appreciation you're going to receive? Because the more appreciation you get on that home, the more money you have to take to your next home so you can afford a nicer, bigger home, more towards your dream home. Still maybe not your dream home, but it may be your dream home. All right? So it really does matter. And a lot of people, I think they put that kind of in the background. We look at all the niceties, the, you know, how big the bathrooms are, things like that, the, you know, everything else. But those, you know, where you buy has to work for you, but also look at the quality of the investment. One of the great ways, and I think this is what you did, it's certainly what I did, I bought the lowest end in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You know, I bought at the low end. When you're the lower priced home, you tend to do much better, definitely, than the highest priced home.
Yeah, they tell you not to buy the highest price, especially if you're looking at it as an investment. Because you buy the highest one, everybody else has to come up before you start going up. If you buy middle to low, you're going to go up, because as soon as the bigger ones go up, you're automatically going to start shooting up.
Right. Yeah, it makes a huge difference. And there's so many things there that matter to that. So you just have to make sure that, you know, that's something that you're looking at. You know, what's the next point on?
So the next thing is, let's not just talk about financial. Let's talk about emotional. I mean, I don't know how many times, and Rick, you probably got it, and it'll hit home. As soon as somebody closes on their first house and they've never owned a home, I've gotten several calls afterwards because I do the follow-up call and all that. And they'll be like, I can't believe my wife, as soon as she got in the car, she just started crying. And when you first hear that, you're like, oh my goodness, that's not good. But it's the cry of joy that they never thought they could have home ownership, that they're no longer paying their landlord to live in a place. I mean, and so I don't care how long you've been doing this, it always hits you in the right spot. You're like, oh, that's nice to hear that we were able to help them.
Yes, it makes a huge yep. difference, and it's a driver of why we're in the business.
Correct.
And it doesn't matter. It doesn't even have to be the first home.
No.
The first home is very exciting for people. But that second home, you know, 5-6 years later, or 10 years later, 20 years later, or a year and a half later, whenever it happens to be, has a very similar effect. It's mm-hmm. something that people care about.
Correct.
You know?
I mean, it's not just that. I mean, usually your first home, you sacrifice some of your on your wish list. Your second home, your third home, you get a lot more of your wish list. And that even hits an indifferent spot. I mean, the things that you always dreamed of, but were not able to get until now. So that's the nice thing. And the emotional thing, I mean, it's just the whole emotional thing of it is yours. And I think is the biggest thing is it's, especially in this type of society we live in today, it's more emotion based and stuff like that. I mean, back in Rick's days, people try to not show as much emotions. Now it's more people show a little bit more. So by thinking about it that way, there's a huge emotional aspect to owning a home and living in your own home.
Yes. But, you know, on the emotion piece, I'm not sure I know people want to put it on ages, you know, this group, but I truly believe that it's personality more than anything. Now there may be more people that show emotion, but I know, you know, on my mom's side, they're English, and the English are known for not showing emotion. you know. But
oh, there goes all of our English listeners. Yeah,
but my mom, who was, you know, 100% English, she was very emotional. My dad, on the other hand, was from Norway, that area, mm-hmm. okay, Holland, that area. That's where his family came from. And he was not very emotional at all. So everybody's different. And I you know, I'm not a highly emotional person. It's not my nature. So, but it doesn't mean things, you know, somebody who doesn't show emotion doesn't mean they don't have emotion. I think that's something that also gets
correct.
People, you know, kind of, they miss that. So the bottom line is home ownership can be hugely beneficial to especially that first home. And it's a great stepping stone. Is there anything else on that you wanted to discuss?
I mean, those are the two major points. I mean, again, the financial thing is where most people, especially if you're looking at later in life, especially if you're a younger mid-30s, mid-40s, that's where you're looking. You're looking financially than anything. Now, as you get older and stuff, a lot of times you've already had the house. When you're 50, 60, you're most likely not looking at moving up. You might look at downsizing, which I know several of our clients have done. Once the kids move out, you don't need the 6-bedroom, 4-bath with 2 people living in it, you know? So you got that opportunity to sell and then downgrade a little bit. So
yeah, you know, it's a hard thing to do that you think that you're downsizing. And when you're thinking about downsizing, this is kind of, it may not be 100% accurate, but it's kind of what I've seen over time. Downsizing means you're changing the size of your home, changing maybe, you know, where you live, but you're not necessarily changing the value of the property. It is because of how houses have increased. If you downsize, you many times have a smaller home with the same value, mm-hmm. and maybe even more expensive. So it's not, when somebody's looking to downsize, I've had so many people who, you know, we want to downsize and they're looking at it partly because they want to lower their payments or they want some cash. You know, they own their house free and clear. They want some, have a little cash. And then they find out it doesn't help them any. Downsizing doesn't do what they were hoping it would do, which is lower the amount of cash they either have out or the mortgage size that they have. So it's just one of those things to remember. The other thing I noticed, and this is from spending 11 years with a new home builder, you get people who come in and they want to downsize. And so they're in a 4,000 or 5,000 square foot home, maybe a 3,000 square foot home, and they walk through a 1,800 square foot home. And what do you think they're saying?
Oh, this feels like a garage. Yeah. It doesn't feel like there's anything.
It's well, this room isn't big enough.
Yep.
Well, this room isn't big. You can't downsize and have the same size rooms.
Correct.
Okay, and all the same rooms. You can't do that. That isn't possible. But that is the difficulty in it. It sounds good in our heads, but it's not always the easiest thing to do. I had some friends do it, and they did. They ended up going from probably a 5,500 square foot home to a maybe 2,000 square foot home. And they did it, and they are very happy, but they really didn't change the value very much. They just had to go to a different location, bought a newer home, and they love it and they're very happy. But it was difficult because there's so much you have to get rid of when you're losing 2,000-3,000 square feet. I'm sorry, you're losing a lot of your stuff.
Yep.
And maybe we all have too much stuff. Well,
no.
You know, it may be now or never for spring home buyers. You know, as you look at the spring market, you know, we got rising prices and higher mortgage rates. You know, so what does that mean? You know, with these increases, what does it mean? And you know, is the housing landscape, is it shaping up to be more of the same?
You're going to increase in how they're projecting increase in houses for sale here soon. But the rates, yeah, as we talked earlier, the rates are going to go up for a little bit before they start dropping. But also the supply and demand. So that's the whole thing when you're talking about houses for sale. So with the supply so low, demand is going to be, it right now is so high, the prices of houses aren't dropping anytime soon. I mean, it's just not the way. So people, when there are 100 people shopping for a house and there's only 10 houses out there, the prices aren't coming down. So, especially if you're looking now, you're going to have to bid if the house just listed. You're going to be right on it right away. And I'm saying in the first couple of days, you and your realtor need to be out that house immediately and then put an offer in. Don't go home and say, let me think about it for a few days, because by the time you go to put Butcher's in, they'll say it's pending.
Yeah, you know, and I've heard other markets are slowing a little bit. I have not seen that in the Indianapolis market. And I saw a report a couple of days ago that said that the volume of homes coming into the market has dropped. So we're getting less homes coming in. So there's less homes to buy, mm-hmm. which is heating up the market, because there just isn't enough inventory out there. And I think you're exactly right. It's one of those things where, prices aren't going to be dropping. I think what's going to happen is the amount of appreciation is going to go down. We can't continue at 19%. No.
So do you think it'll actually go, the appreciation will go negative? Or do you think, like with my, I think it's going to stay where you might go for a few years, maybe 2-3% increase, but it won't be a drastic increase.
I think it's going to slow down. So I don't think we're going to be at 19%. I think we're going to be, it's hard to say. I think we're going to drop this year a little bit. I mean, right now it's hot. Right now we're still seeing it at 19%.
Yeah.
So unless it's, I think the market's going to slow down a little bit, but that may not happen. So I think this year is still going to be a good year. It's going to be 10-12%. So it's going to be a good year. Well, Ian, it looks like we're running out of time. So I do want to thank everybody for joining us today. We truly appreciate it. We hope you have a great Saturday. And if you would like to talk to us about mortgages, please get with us, hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com. Thanks again, and have a great weekend.